Our second scripture is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, and I'll read verses 1 to 6, and then 16 to 21. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they receive their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of God. Ash Wednesday begins the season of Lent, 40 weekdays leading up to Easter. Now, I was at a little meeting Saturday for commissioned pastors, and I learned something, the idea, I think. This next Sunday will be the first Sunday in Lent. The Sunday is not Lent, because Lent is 40 weekdays. So it's the first Sunday in Lent. When we get past Easter, we'll have the first Sunday of Eastertide. Little preposition. I just thought I'd share that with you. Lent is a time for self-inspection, for thinking about what we might need to improve in our own lives and in the lives of our Christian community. It is also a time for reminding ourselves of the sacrificial life that Jesus led as we prepare for the heartache and the joy of the cross to come. Barbara Brown Taylor is an Episcopalian minister, and she's one of my favorite writers. She says that Ash Wednesday is the day that Christians attend their own funerals. Whether or not worshipers receive ashes on their foreheads in the sign of the cross, the liturgy reminds all of us of our own demise. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Death is a subject that makes most of us uncomfortable. Some preachers only preach about happy times. Some think that if you tell people the truth about dying, those people will stop coming to your church. Now, I think we have a good crowd tonight. I'm pleased with the number of people are here. But we have to admit, the crowds on Ash Wednesday are always smaller than the ones on Easter Sunday. That makes a lot of sense. Death and sin are just not big draws. They just aren't. Most of the time, we tend to focus on the good and hopeful parts of life, and that is right to do so. But if that's all that we do, if we just tell people it's always going to be happy, everything is lovely, there are no problems. Our job as church people is not to do that. We're to tell the truth. There's one big uncomfortable truth we cannot avoid. Sooner or later, no matter how we try to stop it or delay it, we're all going to die. There's another uncomfortable truth as well. There's an old saying, and you know this saying, the only two things you can be certain of are death and taxes. That's really not right. We really should say the only two things that we're sure of are death and the fact that while we live, we are all going to mess up. We're immortal and we're fallible. These two things, even more than taxes, are the certainties of being a human being. Ash Wednesday speaks to both of these things. We receive ashes on our foreheads and are reminded of our mortality. It's also a day when we repent of all the things that we aren't doing right. We confess our sins and we say that over the course of the next 40 days, we're going to try to do better. We're going to turn ourselves around to set a new course. The gospel lesson that we read from Matthew. It's a familiar passage. It comes right out of the Sermon on the Mount. It can easily be read and misunderstood simply as a moral condemnation of hypocrisy. Now, it is that. It is a condemnation of hypocrisy. And hypocrisy deserves condemnation. There's something deeply offensive in hypocritical displays of piety or moral rectitude. Hypocrites think they can deceive us about their true motives and characters, and they implicitly assume superiority over us. Not surprisingly, our typical reaction is a sense of offense, righteous indignation, and condemnation. However, there's more here than just condemnation of hypocrisy. The word to listen to here, and I tried to read it that way, is the word secret, repeated six times in three sayings. I counted them. It's there. One of those sayings, I'm just going to read one. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. This insight forms the foundation for Jesus' attack on false piety and hypocrisy. True spirituality, Jesus seems to be telling us, is fundamentally solely to do with one's personal relation to God. It is completely separated from any desire to gain social recognition or to achieve any ends other than relationship with God. Relationship with God is an end in itself. Hence, we must pray, fast, and give alms, literally and spiritually, in secret, where relationship with God is its own reward. Jesus homes in on the motivation for giving alms, praying, and fasting, contrasting righteous acts that are done showily in hopes of gaining reward from onlookers with those same pious acts done quietly so that no one sees them but God. Now, if we're honest, this is truly difficult. If we take seriously the depth, the power, and the pervasiveness of our human tendency to engage in religious practices for social effect, we all have a deep need to be recognized in community and thought well of by others. We all have that. However cleverly we try to conceal our motives, we all wish and need to be seen by others. We all want other people to think simply that we are good people. We want that. Thus, when Jesus counsels us to pray, give alms, and fast in secret, he's challenging our deepest instincts. He is calling us not to define the aim or purpose of our religious practices in social terms or in self-centered terms, but to transcend our need and our desire to be seen by others into a true desire for God, to love God for God's own sake. That's what St. Augustine said, to love God for God's own sake. When faith is practiced for our own benefit, that is, hypocritically, to be seen by others, it's idolatrous, substituting a desire for social recognition for a genuine relationship with the living God. There's a hiddenness to our existence before God, and Lent is the season for focusing on this hiddenness, this transcending mystery of God in ourselves. Lent is the time for beginning to learn what it means to be transformed. We're to try again to discover what it means to live an authentic, unpretentious relationship with God and with others. On Ash Wednesday, we should realize we are mortal and we are fallible. As the gospel reading tells us, we should repent and try to do better. We're not going to get perfection, but we should try to do better. To seek God for God's sake instead of what public recognition it might get for us. We should also resist the temptation to deny death. That does not mean, however, that we have a message of hopelessness. It is never meant that. When that cross of ashes goes on our heads, we should understand that we are marked as God's own. We are marked not for death, but for new life in Jesus Christ. We are mortal. We are fallible, but we are not hopeless. We are not doomed. We are, in fact, claimed by something much bigger than ourselves. Those ashes are a sign that we are claimed by God. And if God lays claim to us, then nothing, not even our own mistakes, not even our desire to be seen by others, not even the end of our own life will ever be enough to destroy us. There is a hope rising out of these ashes. There's a promise of resurrection. That promise comes only from the one who's already been resurrected. There is hope for even our darkest nights. There's a sign of the joy that is to come. I invite you to be a participant in the holy season of Lent. I invite you into a journey of new life. I invite you to be willing to be marked as one of Christ's own and to find your hope in his story. The ashes are just a visible signal that you're ready to start a journey that can change everything. They're a sign of hope on our foreheads, a symbol of where we will put our hope during these next 40 days. Amen.